Birdman.
My God, my God, put it on your iPod.
Yeah, now I'm flying with the Birdman.
My God, my God.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to ReviewAday.ca, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. Many great radio stations across this great land of ours, and potentially on a television set coming to you hopefully later on this fall. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. So, moving right along, yes guys, we are back here. It is the 4th of July weekend. Hopefully you guys are out there having a great time with your friends and family, safely of course. And maybe if you're like me, you're playing a couple games this weekend. I think last time on Reddit, I took a look at Watch Dogs, which I had a tremendously good time with. Just recently cleared out some more of the DLC for it, and I think I've done mostly everything except the privacy invasions on. I think I've got more than like half of those done. So I think the only thing really left for me is the multiplayer achievements, and then I think this may be a game I could potentially platinum. I'm not counting on it, but I could. So, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, you guys know I'm a huge fan of the Transformers franchise, as evidenced by the This Week in Geek Topics show. We're going to be talking about Transformers Rise of the Darkspark, coming to us from Edge of Reality and Activision on the Xbox One. I was really looking forward to this game. I had a tremendous time with War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron, and even, I think it was Revenge of the Fallen and Dark of the Moon, I think, had pretty good movie games, if I remember correctly, which are all done by High Moon Studios. This game is not. This is actually done by Edge of Reality, most notably famous for doing the Incredible Hulk 2008 video game, as well as Dragon Age Origins. They also did Mass Effect on the PS3, and the Tony Hawk Pro Skater ports for the N64. Clearly a winning developer. So, this game, let's get into the gameplay slash storyline so we can merely get this over with. That's how excited I am. So, this game attempts to blend together three continuities. The film continuity, the Cybertron continuity, and the original G1 continuity for Transformers. And it centers around a relic known as the Dark Spark. Dark Spark, it's kind of think of it as the anti-Matrix of Leadership, whereas the Matrix of Leadership grants wisdom and power to the wielder to basically lead the Autobots. The Dark Spark grants them power and the ability to kind of warp reality as they see fit. Obviously, Megatron wants this, and this game is set before the end of Fall of Cybertron, because the Autobots haven't quite built the Ark yet, and the Decepticons are pretty much ruling Cybertron unopposed. So, things ain't looking good. So, the game opens with, in the Michael Bay continuity, with the Autobots trying to stop Lockdown from acquiring this relic. And it doesn't happen, because obviously Lockdown gets away with it. And then we play in the Cybertron continuity for about 80% of this game. Although it is more fun on Cybertron than the Earth levels, but I'll talk about that in a minute. So basically what happens is both sides are after this, but Megatron wants this, so he sends Soundwave, Shockwave, and Starscream to find the Dark Spark so they can, well, basically kill the Autobots. They find it in this underground vault, which is protected by, like, these Warriors of the Primes or whatever. And, well, it gets kind of weird. But eventually, it gets back to Decepticon headquarters. In fact, I'd argue you play most of the game as a Decepticon. But eventually, Optimus and Megatron square off. Optimus Prime kicks the crap out of Megatron, and the Dark Spark is launched into space, where it lands in the beginning of the game, more or less, and Lockdown has it. However, the game gets a little kind of stupid from here, because it takes place evidently before Age of Extinction, and you'll see what I mean in just a minute. So, what happens is one of the Autobots, Drift, the transforming samurai robot car you saw in Age of Extinction, gets captured, and eventually Bumblebee and Grimlock have to rescue Drift, and there's this whole thing, and they run through, like, Shanghai or something, or some nameless city to chase after Lockdown. Eventually, you enter Lockdown's fortress. You kick the crap out of him. You destroy the Dark Spark. Well, not really. It's launched into yet another reality where it lands in the Transformers Generation 1, which is where the game ends. Now, you don't get to play as many bots in this as you might think. You do play as Optimus Prime, Drift, Bumblebee, Shockwave, Soundwave, Jetfire, Sharpshot, which is like an Insecticon. Although, two bright spots in this game, though they can be frustrating in their own right, is you do get to play as Grimlock, which is more fun than it probably should have been, and you do get to play as the Combaticons combiner, Bruticus. That's a lot of fun. I'm not going to deny, I actually did have a lot of fun in those two particular stages. Though you never play as Megatron, which really surprised me. And you don't get to play as any of the other Autobots, really, other than Bumblebee, Drift, and Prime, though you do get to play as Cliffjumper. But you never get to play as Jazz, or Ratchet, or Ironhide, or, let me see, who else? Warpath. Now, you can play these people in the multiplayer, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. You do get two guns. You get your standard gun, you get like a heavy weapon, you get like an ability and a thing called a hack, which can increase the level of experience you get. So it might be enemies explode with headshots, but the explosion can damage you too, or they drop more health and less weapons, or more weapons and less health. Stuff like that, or you might get no HUD at all, which gives you 300% experience. And it is kind of cool. You also get different things you can assign to your like D-pad, like I want a repair drone. I want to do a 5x multiplier. I want this combat drone thing or heat-seeking grenades or something. So there is that. Transforming is a simple one push of a button, and it happens, although vehicles handle so sluggish. Although the jets seem to be a little bit more immune from this, I found invisible walls to be a big problem in this. And there's one specific thing. This is near the end of the game. There's a point where Bumblebee and Drift have to jump across this chasm after clearing out this canyon full of snipers. I thought my game was bugged for about a day and a half at this point. This cliffside wall opens up and you should be able to jump it. But you can't. So I'm like, all right, maybe I got a vehicle jump this. So I get all the way as far back as I can, hit Bumblebee's turbo, hit a wall, can't even jump it, yet as a bot I can, and I can't use my slingshot arm to grab a hold of the ledge. No, you have to do this weird Mega Man X air dash. And the game gives you no indication that you can do this. Drift doesn't go ahead of you to show you how it's done or anything. It's just buggy. There'll be other times where enemies don't load, so certain scenes don't trigger. That's another thing, too. It is really easy to die in this game. You can get swarmed and be dead so fast. The checkpoint system helps, but more often than not, you can't skip cutscenes when they happen if you die at just the right time. It's frustrating. It really is. And that's really unfortunate. The difficulty spike in this game, it goes up and down all the time. But the last fight with Lockdown, unless you figure out how to beat him quick, you will want to throw your controller across the room. It's frustrating. However, though, certain weapon upgrades can help you along the way, because you can, by accomplishing different challenges in the level, like only kill robots with melee attacks or shoot a sniper in the face before he can shoot you, you know, stuff like that. You'll get these rewards, which can unlock characters in multiplayer, but also unlock awards like you might get, say, your scatter blaster, which is like your shotgun. You might get an upgrade for that, like maybe it'll reload faster or you can walk quicker with it. Eventually, you can upgrade almost all these weapons, and some of them are pretty kick-ass. I'm particularly fond of the scatter blaster maxed out and the neutron assault rifle. And the slime cannon. The slime cannon is actually a lot of fun. But it's not enough to sustain your interest, unfortunately. The game, there just there's too few boss fights. It feels so thrown together. I mean, at one point you fight Ironhide and Cliffjumper, not at the same time though. You fight Megatron. You fight the three Insecticons, basically as one boss fight, but they come at you separately, so it's weird. You fight Lockdown, and for some reason you can't kill a Decepticon Titan as Drift or Bumblebee, yet Optimus can kill them in, like, a couple of hits, whatever. So, I don't know, it's just, it's a, the game is frankly a chore. It's the best way to describe the game, it is a chore. So let's move on to the graphics for this game. I played this on the Xbox One. I expected this game to look amazing. It looks very similar to the 360. In fact, I'd wonder if it looks even a little bit worse. I would argue Fall of Cybertron looks a lot better. It's just not very appealing to look at. I mean, even the transformations and the character models aren't that particularly well done. Some of them look cool, but they don't look well done, if that makes any sense. Particularly, just anything using the in-game engine for cutscenes, whenever Lockdown is talking to anybody, it just looks bad. I don't know, just the scripted events just make everything look a little too cartoony, would be about the best way to describe this, though. So, unfortunately, this game gets a massive fail on graphics. Moving on to the sound for this game, well, a lot of good voice actors in this. Obviously, Peter Cullen coming back to do Prime. Fred Tiscori does Megatron. And some really weird ones that I found. The guy who does Perceptor is a guy named Jim Ward. I'd like to know why they couldn't even get Paul Edding, the guy who originally did Perceptor from the G1 cartoon. You may know him as the Colonel or the Major from Metal Gear, the good one. Nolan North comes back and does Bruticus and Cliffjumper. And Soundwave is Isaac C. Singleton Jr. I guess Frank Welker was busy. But still, they're just, I don't know. Cullen is the best. The guy that got doing jazz kind of sounds like Scatman Carruthers. Or at least is trying to channel that. But I'd say the guy that voices Drift isn't terrible. He does sound like Ken Watanabe. Greg Berger does return to do Grimlock and Lockdown. Although I don't remember Grimlock talking. Maybe just the roaring, but like you're ever going to know. Music for this game, don't really remember anything, and that's kind of sad. A score should kind of stand out at some points. Now, the voice acting is the best part about this game. However, though, one thing I did like kind of nice, there's one weapon you can unlock called the Throwback Blaster, which sounds just like the G1 laser guns with that pew, pew. And basically, yeah, it sounds like Transformers and G.I. Joe weapons. That was actually kind of cool. That was a nice touch. And when you transform with that gun, you get the traditional transforming sound. You know which one I'm talking about, not the Michael Bay or the Cybertron version of the transforming sound. So, bonus points for that. Multiplayer / extras. Okay, allow me to preface this. I tried to play this game multiplayer for about 3 or 4 days. I got into maybe 4 matches that lasted less than 10 minutes apiece because people just kept disconnecting or like, wow, we're losing, see you later. Multiplayer in this is not PvP, it's horde mode. It's basically escalation mode. You face up to 15 waves of enemies. The stuff you get in single player does carry over and vice versa. And it's cool because you can play as characters like Ultra Magnus, Warpath, some of the Aerial Bots, Brawl. It's neat. There's a lot of characters you can play. Each of them has different abilities. That's kind of cool. You can use your hacks and your special weapons from the main game here. It should be cool. It's not. It's frustrating. The most populated match I played was with 4 guys. 2 of them dropped out. Me and the other guy got swarmed. On the Xbox One, I try searching for any game. Like, it doesn't matter where I'm playing. Autobot, Decepticon, I just want to play a game. More often than not, it will time out. That, to me, is not a good sign. And it sucks, because I would love to play as Warpath, like he's the Autobot tank, or to play as Blastoff, which is like the Decepticon space shuttle, who forms part of the Combaticons Bruticus, stuff like that. It sucks. It sucks so bad. I mean, I can't even recommend this game as a rental, because it will frustrate you, it will disappoint you, more so than it will anything. The game feels lazy, it feels rushed. I mean, clearly whoever put in the throwback blaster knew that there was some love to be had for this franchise, but ultimately not. I can't recommend this game, not even as a rental. Transformers Rise of the Darkspark is just, avoid this game if you don't want to have your heart broken. Go back and play War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, or get any of the movie games that were done by High Moon Studios. Edge of Reality, you got a long way to go, man. Hopefully you'll do better next time. So until there's another Transformers movie, 2017, we're looking at you. This has been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and just play something else.